again, it's that time of the month. Time of the month for the community meetings. And we have District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey from the Gila County Board of Supervisors with us. And I'll say at the get-go, we're not going to have Al Gameros tonight. Unfortunately, his sister passed away, and so he's in Tucson. So he will be back next month. But this month, oh, we got lots of things to discuss with Tim. How are you, Tim?
I'm well, Raleigh. How are you?
Yeah, I can't complain.
Good, good. Yeah, it just seems to be really busy, and so there's a lot going on. I've had a lot of meetings. My recent activities since the last time I attended three agenda meetings, and the agenda meetings are when we vote on things that are brought before the supervisors, and one work session. And so the work sessions are when we can get together as supervisors, because we can't talk one-on-one.
Yeah.
Open meeting laws, and so that gives us the opportunity to discuss projects we want to work on with the other supervisors and staff. And so we only had one, and so I brought up to the other supervisors that, guys, do you mind having more work sessions, or when you're here, rather than just a two-hour work session, do you mind if we have more discussions? Because if we only do 2 hours a month, that's only 24 hours of communication for all the stuff going on in the county. So anyway, they said, sure, that's good. So we're going to start having more work sessions to discuss the things that are going on.
I think it's a great idea because, I understand why they have open meeting laws and all that, and I get that. But at the same time, unless you make arrangements, you wind up going to the regular meetings to vote on things that you guys haven't talked to each other.
Right.
So and that's not good.
No, it isn't. And then staff doesn't know which direction that the board as a whole would like to go, unless you're in front of them discussing stuff. So anyway, that's good. We're going to start having some more of those. And attended American Public Works Association luncheon. The Tunnel Creek Bridge got another award.
Yeah, so, that's right. In Tucson.
So yeah, that was nice. Attended a District 2 project meeting on the 30th with Troy White, who's our interim public works director, and his staff. And so I meet once a month with Troy and his staff, and that's to go over projects that we're working on in District 2 and projects that we need to bring to everybody in District 2. Like when I have my public meetings, if there's something going on in Tano or whatever, then I can bring it to the to everybody, because it's like a round table. It's not like, well, let me call him. It's like we're all at the same meeting and everybody's there. And so discussing projects, District 2, there's 15 of them. We got Vertical Heights, Town of Miami Trail Study.
Let's talk about it. Vertical Heights, what's the project?
Vertical Heights is the road that goes up.
I know where it is. What's the project?
What it is the constituents at the top are wanting to do like a coating or something on that road, because it's uphill and it's pretty steep and it gets washboarded. So we're working on different processes of what we can do with that. Paving it, yes, would be the ultimate, but paving is awfully expensive. Chip sealing is something that we might be able to do, but chip sealing on that steep a grade probably wouldn't hold up well.
Right.
So what we're doing is there's a coating that you can put on compact granite that holds extremely well, and especially on steep places, because that way it sheds water faster and it does real good on dust control. And so what we're doing a pilot program on some of those on a couple dirt roads with that before we make up a decision on what we're going to go forward with on Vertical Heights.
So that would be the road from Chaparral Loop, where it the pavement ends right there, on up to Vertical Heights, that whole thing.
All the way up to the top.
Right, that's a good stretch of road.
It is. We worked with the City of Globe on an IGA to widen a turn there, because it was a real narrow turn, and so we widened that. So anyway, we're working on what we're going with that. Town of Miami Trail Study, they want to do a trail that goes like from Miami Gardens all the way through, follows the creek down over into Miami.
Okay.
And they got a grant, but I'm not sure, you know, that's something that we still have on the list. Okay. But I don't know how forward they're moving on that. Golden Hills Nursery Turn, that washes out. We're working on putting a culvert where you go into the nursery.
Off of Russell Road.
Off of Russell, mm-hmm. Yeah, where you are, Golden Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you turn in. We're working on putting a culvert in there.
Good.
The Gaisela Road, as you know, we had a major issue with that because we subcontracted with Cascadis Asphalt. They really did us a bad job. A lot of cars got a lot of stuff on them. So anyway, we're working forward on that. We did some chip seal, hoping to fill in some of the washboarding, and it's not working, so now we're engineering to maybe tear a lot of that out in the curves to that road to Gaisela and repave that.
The contractor responsible for that, I hope.
Well, you know, probably not without a lawsuit. You know, did what we could to get could, because, you know, in the middle of a project, if you try to make somebody real responsible or more than they want to, then the whole project shuts down. The whole time we've got public not being able to do anything on a horrible road. So, you know, sometimes you just take it on the chin, which is a horrible thing to do, but then move on. And so I
can understand that. It's your basic rock and hard place.
Yeah, you're rocking a hard space.
In this case, literally.
And so, in my opinion, Cactus lost a lot of money, because as long as I'm supervisor, I'll never support them working for Gila County again.
Absolutely. That's the way you vote. You vote with your dollars. Yeah. 100%.
You do. And, you know, then we got a little Golden Hills project at the top of Golden Hill, where you turn and go over to the apartments. That road, the drainage of that road, it was paved a long time ago, and nobody can figure out why, because it was never accepted into the county.
Oh.
And so we've worked on accepting that road into the county so we can maintain that road. Moore Street is the street that right there between the motel and the state building that goes to the courthouse. We're lowering that road and making it better. It was real, real steep and narrow.
Right.
You know, and if you went off the right side, you'd probably roll three times before you got in the parking lot of the state building.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that road's coming way down. We're working on that project. That's good. And then the Russell Gulch, we've discussed that before. Yeah. And the Russell Road as well. You know, we're in phase one with that project.
Right.
And as soon as it gets engineered, then we'll know where it's going to be. We'll know what it's cost. And then we'll put in for the second grant to do the work.
Good.
Landfill update on the landfill was we were shorthanded, and the people, that the operators that we had were working the landfill. I mean, from the time it opened till the time it closed, they were pushing garbage and compacting garbage, and then the next day they were doing the same, but not enough time, not enough operators to do the catch-up work, like haul dirt and put dirt on. And so anyway, we worked on that. We had some operators come down from Payson. We had some overtime, but anyway, now the landfill, you don't have to turn around at the bottom and back a trailer up. You can actually drive up to the top, turn around, back in. There's a wide space, and we're working on going forward with the second phase of the landfill expansion, because for some unknown reason, they shorted the first expansion by a third.
What?
Yeah, and, you know, I asked county manager, how did they do that without coming to the board? He says, well, I don't know. But anyway, that...
How did they do that?
You know...
Did the county manager know they were doing this?
Who
knows? Okay. All right.
I'm one leg of a tripod, and I can only push things so hard.
No,
because
of course.
I don't go. But anyway, that the landfill manager is not with us anymore. We have Aaron. He's a great guy. He knows what he's doing, and he's working hard with us to help catch up. But the landfill's a lot better, so there was long lines and things. We talked about that.
That's
so. Anyway, we're going through that, and then.
You know, you're saying, by the way, that he's not with us anymore. No, he was against you from the start.
Yeah. And so anyway, then, you know, we're working on some NRCS projects that, you know, still from the fire, that if we have an episode, then perhaps we can get funding to help with some of those waterways. Campaign Creek, we did the buyout on that. We have some funding left from the state, so we're working on doing some modification on the north side of Campaign Creek. Estate culverts out at the estates, where we're cleaning and putting culverts in, because over time people have kind of filled in where the culverts were, so they had off, you know, out of their property parking next to the road type deal, mm-hmm. on the right of way. So we're working on that and getting some of those reopened and done. West Street at the top of Golden Hill. Then we got then we're always, you know, discussing grant opportunities with engineering on what grants we can put in for Cottonwood Lane. That was somebody wanted us to take over the road. Cottonwood Lane, we can. It's too steep. You know, when subdividers subdivide property and do things and sell it, well, then all of a sudden it's not the county's problem. It's a private road.
Correct.
And sometimes we can take them in if they're proper, but if they're not proper, then sorry, we can't take this road in. And I'm sorry that you've got to use four-wheel drive to get home, but that's not ours. But anyway, that's just what we discuss on meetings once a month as projects. We're always adding to this list and taking away from that list.
You know, you bring up something really good about that with regard to developers and subdivisions and stuff like that. A lot of people don't realize what you just said, that the roads are no longer public roads, county roads. They're the developer. And the worst case I ever saw was outside of Chattanooga, where they built an area where a third of it you could not get a car to.
Yeah.
It was that steep. Basically, you know, they sold the lots, but then no one could build on them.
Right.
Because literally you'd need a helicopter.
Right.
And that happens. So if you're buying in a subdivision, it behooves you to know first, what's the condition of the roads? Because it may not be the county.
Well, and not only the roads, but what we run into is when it is subdivided, there are rules and regulations for the subdivision.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, like, there's people, if, you know, I just... craziness, you know, you can't have pets in this subdivision. Well, you buy property, you need to check in.
Oh, the CCNRs.
The CCNRs, yes. Of what that property is.
You're so right.
Because then you get in and you want to build a shed. It's like, sorry, you can't have any sheds in this development and
100%,
things of that nature. So.
Especially, and if there's an HOA in the mix too, that can truly be the road to hell. I mean,
sure.
People talk about it and say, well, you know, the neighborhood will stay nice. And then you're trying to paint your house the same color and you got to get the board's approval and, you know, et cetera and so forth.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's a real
problem. We're defending ourselves a lot of times over things that people just didn't check out prior to purchasing the property. And was it built without a permit? We have complete homes that were built without a permit.
Complete homes?
And sold.
How did nobody notice?
Well, yeah, they never got a building permit, and the gentleman was cited for not having a building permit, and so he just sold it. And whoever bought it, now they've got this big old mess that ended up on their lap. Because if you buy a property and stuff was done without a permit, or there was a lien against the property, or yada, 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 all of a sudden you're the proud owner of whatever state that property was in when you purchase it.
You know, that's really interesting, because, of course, a lot of people think, well, I did a title search and I've got that. The title search doesn't cover a lot of this stuff.
Right. No,
you know,
they don't.
It'll uncover a lien, but it's not going to uncover that somebody didn't permit something.
Yeah. And sometime an easement to your property.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, isn't that the truth? Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. We had that at one of our locations where a mining company had bought the land, both sides of it, and this was no problem. We're happy to let them through. But the reality is that if we weren't happy to let them through, they had no way around it.
Right.
You
right.
know, and it worked out very well, but yeah, you really wonder
right.
how, you know.
Sure. And yeah, like I say, you know, and then when I meet with the staff, you know, we go over things like this, like complaints that they've had and things that are going on, and maybe what issues we need to work on in the future to change ordinances that were done 40 years ago that don't work well today.
Or maybe something at some point where there is a public outreach so people can be aware that these things even exist.
Sure.
You know, because most people, you know, don't use an attorney in these transactions, and very often that's a mistake.
Well, sometimes it can be.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be. And then I attended a Board of Supervisors luncheon with CSA, which is the County Supervisors Association mm-hmm. staff. All the counties work with CSA on legislation, is basically. So they kind of help us look out for legislation that is against things or can create difficulties for rural Arizona. And so met with them.
Now, before we move on, because we're talking about drainage and all that stuff, John in Tonto Basin has called us.
Oh,
we
okay.
should give out that number, by the way, which is 888-876-5593. So, John in Tonto Basin, thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, I just, every day I drive by the ditch, first of all, there are three properties that are really affected. And if Tim would please come down Tonto Creek Trail from the Dollar General just down to the culverts.
Okay.
And that is overgrown and it's a mess. And twice, three property owners have been flooded there, and I'm one of them. Mm. And
okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
it's terribly overgrown.
Okay.
I know Mark Klein retired.
Bill Strickland is the gentleman that's ahead of that now. And I talked with him. I just had my Tonto Basin meeting on Tuesday, and I talked with him about that. But I will talk with him again, and I'll go look at it and take pictures of it for you, John.
Please.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Tim,
okay.
Please do, because it is a mess, and it drains a lot of property up on the west, and it all runs down right straight east to Tonto Creek, and the brush and those three big culverts, they get get inundated with brush, and then we're had.
Okay, I will go out and look at that myself, and I'll even get with Mr. Strickland, and we'll take a look at it.
Or would you take my number and
go
call
ahead.
Me?
Go ahead.
Well, no. Let's
oh,
not.
Wait,
my
wait,
let's
wait.
Not,
not on.
No,
not
no,
on.
No, no,
open.
No.
Let me get. Let me give you my. Let me give you my cell phone and call me after the show.
Or I can put you on hold, and you can give John the number, and John will give it to Tim.
I like old John. So,
okay.
Raleigh, let's do it.
All right.
Tim,
hang on.
Do it.
Don't go away.
And get with it.
Okay,
all right,
I will.
Hang on.
Thank
all
you.
Right. So, if you're, so we cannot have people giving numbers out on the
air. Yeah, it's best not.
Yeah.
You never know. But anyway, I appreciate that because, like I say, we share it, but everybody's got lots going on, and we've been chip sealing and stuff, so I'll check on that brush in those drainages.
Great.
As well. And then going forward, held a Roosevelt meeting, held one today.
Wow.
As a matter of fact.
And probably a lot of people were there.
Yeah, about eight people from the community, and then we had the sheriff's office there. We had the Tonto Basin Fire there. We had engineering there, and we had head of roads there. So
good.
So we had county staff as well as people,
good.
So we could go over things. And then anyway, and then I also have a meeting once a month with IT, Community Development, Health Department, Facilities, Finance, and the deputy county manager to go over other projects
uh-huh.
and funding of projects and where those things are at to try to stay up with kind of what's going on with the county and my district.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, I wanted to bring up another deal that I had done some research on. And, you know, we just had the new census so that we, you know, and the legislature and the Board of Supervisors, then that's when they make sure that everybody's got about the same amount of constituents
uh-huh.
and can change supervisor lines. And anyway, so we did that, and Supervisor Klein's district and my district changed a little bit, which is 3 and 2. But anyway, what I did is, you know, I've been busy, and I have these meetings, got all these projects in District 2, And I was wondering, you know, I don't hear a lot about the other districts and meetings and stuff going on in there. So I got to wondering what the deal was. And so I had staff pull up the census chart. Okay, we got the population, which came out right. And then, so what I started thinking is how many constituents is the county the only government for?
Right.
Because like I'm District 2, so I have Globe Mayor and Council, I have Miami Mayor and Council, but I have an awful lot of rural as well.
Well, and Central Heights and Claypool and all that.
Well, then I hit Roosevelt and Tonneau Basin and all the way to Rye.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, what I got to looking at is District 1. They, out of their population, a little over 15,000, incorporated over 12,500. I'll give you my paperwork, Raleigh.
Oh, okay.
12,500. And the unincorporated is 2,660, which in District 1, only 17.46% of his constituents.
Unincorporated.
He's the only government for 17%.
Right.
All the rest are governed by someone else. The reservation, right. Town of Payson, you know, Star Valley.
Sure.
Okay. And so anyway, then we get into District 2, and I've got 50.9% of my constituents
are
unincorporated,
yeah,
where I am their only government.
Right.
And then we get into District 3. District 3 is 16.53% of his constituents are unincorporated. The rest are all incorporated with either the reservation, Town of Hayden, Payson, Star Valley. So when you add those up, I have more constituents than both other districts combined.
Of course you do.
Yeah, they're like 30-some percent, and I'm over 50%.
Yeah.
And so I have almost twice as many constituents as both of the others put together.
Sure.
And so now I know why I'm so busy.
Absolutely.
I get a lot of calls and a lot of things going on.
Well, and the other thing, of course, in an area with Globe and Miami is very often, and you've encountered this a lot, is it city, is it county? You know, who's taking care of it?
Sure.
And so things wind up, lost in the process because no one's sure who's doing what to whom.
Sure, and that's why I go to, I visit with the mayor of Globe a lot, and I don't go to a lot of their meetings because they're on Tuesdays, and my Tuesdays sometimes run long with the Board of Supervisors meetings and stuff, but that's why I attend the Miami meetings.
Right.
And also too, when I'm when we go down to Central Arizona Government, that I try to carpool with both mayors so that we can clear up kind of some of that. But anyway, well, I had that information, then I went to roads, just checking roads with our roadmap guy, and the county takes care of 758.1 miles of road. And out of that, District 1 has a whopping 96.48 miles in his district.
Wow.
And Supervisor Klein has 383 miles, but he runs from Hayden and Winkleman all the way to Young. So he's got a lot of miles. But in District 2, I still have 272 miles of road.
Yeah.
In my district.
Sure, so you do.
So, it keeps me really busy.
Yeah, because that is a large swath of land. It is.
And a large amount of people that, if they've got a barking dog, I'm their only government, not some city or health issue or blighted properties or things of that nature. And so, I was shocked when I started looking at that information, and I thought, okay, but what do I do with it? Nothing. You know, I mean, we just go down the road, but it was interesting to find out that District 2 has almost twice the constituents.
Oh, absolutely.
Of the other two
districts. Of the other two combined. That is really interesting. And like I say, especially when you're dealing with an area that's compact and has some city and some county, straightening it out takes a while.
Sure. Oh, it does. Yeah, it
oh,
really
absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely. When people say, well, my road, well, okay, who's the road? The county says yes, city says no, you know, on and
right,
on it goes.
Right.
So,
yeah, sorting
yeah.
it out.
Sure.
Right. But yeah, that's that was pretty busy. And I had a meeting here a while back with Tri-City Regional Sanitary
uh-huh.
District, and they did go out for bid.
Right.
And they received an astronomical bid. And so anyway, I had a meeting with them and, you know, we talked about kind of different things. And, you know, I've been a general contractor for 27
yes.
years. And a lot of times, you know, if you bid that big a job, if a general's taking that over, there's going to be a lot of subcontracting
of
going on.
Of course there
on.
Will.
And I think, you know, maybe, and they think as well that they brought it up for kind of my opinion on it. On instead of just bidding out the whole project,
bidding out pieces
is to break it down to pieces, like the major pipeline. Okay, let bid out the major pipeline because there's company that do huge
mm-hmm.
pipelines, and then break it down for okay from the major pipeline to the home,
mm-hmm.
and that may be small enough that some of our local contractors can
right.
can get involved with as well. And even maybe team up, you know, get two or three local contractors
mm-hmm.
to be able to do those portions of the plumbing, like from the main body in. And someone to, you know, going to go ahead on the easements and things of that nature
right.
instead of on the general. Because there's companies that would just do that.
Oh, so absolutely. But they're going to, as you well know, as a contractor, they're going to have to really police this because you're talking about a lot of different parts on this.
You are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, to me, that's all part. If you've got a project manager, that's his job is
well,
to manage the project.
And they need a good one for that. Absolutely.
They
that's
sure do.
True. It's interesting that it was an astronomical bid. Now, putting it that way leads me to believe that maybe they weren't expecting what they got.
I guess they were surprised at
mm.
what they got, and to the point that not considering it.
Well, they can't.
Know? Yeah, they can't.
No,
so anyway, I think breaking it down into smaller portions. You know how to eat an elephant, one bite at a time, and so by breaking it down.
May change the timetable.
Well, it may do that as well.
Yeah.
And every day, things get more expensive.
Absolute. I mean, to a degree that is just mind-boggling.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
I guess I understand some of it, but not all of it. I know anytime there's a reason to raise prices, they're gonna.
Well, of course.
You know, like COVID. It's like, okay, because of COVID, we have to go up, you know, 30%.
Right.
Well, okay, if COVID didn't really affect you, you're still going to go up 30% because everybody else is. And so, you know, that part I don't understand. And, you know, what's going on with the nation as far as the, you know, the tariffs and taxes and things of that nature. Yeah, some things are going to go way up and some things I think are going to be reasonable. But I think...
No,
we'll,
but in
we'll
general,
goes,
construction
right?
and housing, you know, the
yeah.
latest figures where they said the average house in San Jose is $1.5 million.
Wow.
I've been to San Jose. It is not particularly nice.
Yeah.
As a, you know, I hate to say
right.
it, but as a group, the average house in Los Angeles, $900,000?
Right.
Oh, no. Now, that begs the question, how are people doing it?
I don't know, Raleigh. How are people functioning without employment? We are more expensive now than we've ever been, and there's people, nobody wants to work. We
right.
we can't hire employees. We can't train employees to hire.
Right. Well, there's a lot of, and I wouldn't even call it an underground economy, but an independent economy where people are doing piecemeal things and doing things online and all that, where they're
yeah.
they're piecing something together. And I sort of get that. But what I don't understand is it's not enough money when you look at, you know, I joke, gee, I'm going to go to Sonic and get an estimate on a hot dog. You know what I mean? The reality is that even fast food, if you got a family of four,
yeah.
You know, is everybody just going into credit card debt, or are they making money that
well,
I just don't know of?
Do you have your EBT
well,
card?
Right. I don't know if I ever told you, but we made the biggest mistake because, of course, so many people here are on EBT.
Understand.
And so we had this contest. We were giving away gift cards for $100 of groceries, and nobody cared. Well, we had no idea that they didn't need the money because they had EBT cards.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, yeah, as far as construction, you know, I can remember buying plywood for $18 a sheet, and it's 60 now.
Right.
So can you imagine doing, I mean, even a 1,600 square foot home's roof and shear it at $60 a sheet. And that's at the store. That's not including getting it to the job.
Right, right.
And that's not including labor to put it up.
Right.
You and one other guy, because you can't hire a crew anymore, it doesn't seem.
No, so. This is absolutely the case. I mean, before, it could be sometimes even more economical to build than to buy.
Right.
But now the prices are outrageous.
Right. They are, and I think single family homes are crazy. Now, I think some of those, you know, when you get into Phoenix and you see those big conglomerations, I think the contractors are the investors, and so, you know, they can cut people deals because they're going to own them for the next 30 years type deal and make interest on the payment for 30 years. So they make out that way, but you know, if you want to go buy a house with a pool, I think it's like I say, my daughter and son-in-law wanted to buy a house and they couldn't afford to get into one because they were both working and they were paying, I don't know, crazy rent down in Mesa.
Right.
So I let them, I finished up an investment house that I had.
Right.
And so I let them live in there for 2 years rent-free. So that they could save enough money
to get a down payment.
To get a down payment for a home, and now they've purchased a home down off Arizona Farms, and everybody's happy. But you know, not everybody can do that, and you know, I thank God that I was blessed enough that I could help my family.
Right.
But you know, I mean, geez, just two young family, two people working with a child or two. I mean, you know, at $1,500 a month rent, and then you got utilities and you got groceries the way they are. I don't see it's just sure tough.
Yeah, see, it is. That's the thing. And if you don't already have a house, getting into the market like your family is almost impossible for people. And you see people, two working people were together, they're bringing in well over $100,000 and they still can't get into a house.
Right, right.
Something, and the entire American economy, I know this is off the subject, but that's all right. Al's not here. And
Al's not here. We're on Al's time. We're not on my time anymore.
That's absolutely fine. But, you know, it's the whole thing is upside down because the quote-unquote American dream was you bought that house and then you worked and all that, and then when you were ready to retire, you sold the house, and that's what could put you into the senior citizen development or wherever you wanted to go.
Sure.
Well, now if you can't get into that house,
you're going to be at the end of your life, and you have no investment because you never had any extra money to put anywhere.
Right, and a lot of these housing developments, as you well know, what's going on is investors are buying the whole development, renting it out.
Yes.
So they become rental neighborhoods.
Yes. Yes.
So.
Yeah, and I've had offers to purchase homes, but everybody wants me to carry.
Of course.
And it's like, well, I don't want to carry,
right.
Because if I wanted to carry, I'd rent the place instead of sell it.
That's
right. because investors now, if they, buy your house for $100,000 down in payment, well, then they're making $400-$600 a month on their investment, and 20 years down the road, 15 years down the road, the house is paid for and they're still making their investment. And it's like, I understand it, but it's just crazy.
Well, and see, that's the thing. Obviously, I keep thinking there's something I'm missing because I don't understand how long term this works.
Yeah, and as long, one of the big things too is the short-term rentals. I mean, the rent on short-term rentals is astronomical, where a lot of these investors that are buying these places, somebody with a job can't rent them, because they're doing short-term and making more money. They don't want you in there all the time. They want you to pay big money for 3 days or a week and then go about your business so they can get somebody else in there. And so they're not renting them for 6 months or a year.
Yes, it's a good point. And you, on one of your meetings, we were talking about areas to the north where they're almost exclusively short-term now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and if they're not short-term, short-term has driven the price of them up to the point that, you know, a starting family can't afford them.
No, that's exactly. You know, very often when we look at things like San Francisco and the amount of homelessness, and people say, well, what's this coming from? Well, most of the areas where people could afford to live have been gentrified.
Yeah.
You know, places like Richmond, where you didn't need a lot of money, you go, not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the prices in Oakland. How is this possible?
Yeah.
So there's an answer here. Oh, one other thing we had talked about before about getting the sheriff's report.
Yes.
And I heard immediately after I sent that email from the sheriff and from a deputy here locally, and then absolutely no follow-up, no matter what I do. And so we, as you well know, have a heck of a crime problem here. And I sympathize with not wanting to give out the names because of the insurance ramification and the lawsuits and all that. I got that. But the aggregate total of how many arrests, where were these arrests, and again, not the actual street number, but the street or whatever, what was the offense, you know, like I sent in my email to you. I can't get any response after that. One follow-up and nothing. And boy, I'll tell you, listeners are upset about this.
Yeah, I would imagine. And, you know, I can talk to the sheriff.
Yeah,
he's willing
it.
To talk to me. But, again, I'm one leg of a tripod, and I have no jurisdiction over other elected officials. But, you know, I even asked the sheriff to call in that one time, and he did. But then you followed up, like you said, and... So I don't know. I can reach out to them and see, and maybe even the county attorney. I don't know.
Be great, because people want to know, and we'd like to provide the information.
Sure.
You know, speaking of which, you heard the Silver Belt is no more.
That's what I heard, and you know, some of our stuff needs to be printed in
in the
county seat. And we're the county seat, and now we don't have a newspaper.
No, you don't. Now, that's interesting. It has to. I knew it had to be printed.
We do have a newspaper, but I don't know if they'll be willing to work with us.
Who would that be?
Yeah, the Linda Gross's paper.
Okay, all right.
I don't.
Right.
I should know.
Globe Miami Times.
Globe Miami Times.
Right.
Yeah, she has a paper. I think
it was quarterly, but I've heard it's monthly now. I don't know.
But anyway, she needs to maybe get with somebody from the county and see what she can do, because a lot of our information, it can go out to whoever got the bid, but that's why the Silver Belt got some of the printing anyway, is because it had to be printed and it had to be done in the county seat.
Now that's the interesting part. I knew that there were printing requirements, but I figured anywhere in the county would be okay. Because, you know, we have that too with broadcasting, where there are some things, and I always depended upon the Silver Belt, and a lot of people who maybe didn't want their notice seen would put it in the moccasin, you know, things like that.
Right.
But I figured, well, Pace and Roundup is in the county, but what you're saying, that's not going to count.
Well, no, they print everything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you need to be in the county seat.
But there's some things that had to be printed. Not only did Basin Paper get it, the Roundup, but also Silver Belt got it too, because it was certain things that had to be printed in the county.
That's what I mean. I didn't realize. Well, that's an opportunity. And, you know, to an extent, I understand that the entire chain that had bought the Silver Belt went down, and I assume they had debt service and other problems, because I would assume just being the paper of record for the announcements would be enough to pay your bills. You know, I was
maybe not all the others that you acquired.
Well, that's what I'm saying. With debt service along with it, of course, I get that. But that's an opportunity for someone.
It would be. I don't care to start a paper. How about you?
No, we had the printing presses and everything, because Bill Taylor, God love him, used to love to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But we said, no, we're not in the printing business.
We're not in the printing business, and don't care to get that way.
No, but, you know, it's too bad that it doesn't count to put it on the radio, because, you know, we'd certainly do that.
Right, yeah. And you know, some of those old rules and laws that you can't even put it out in email because it had to be in print.
Right. Right.
And I think the legislature is working on something like that at some point in time, too.
They really should, yeah, or a website or something.
Sure, something other than the old just print, you know.
It's not realistic to do that.
No, it isn't, and neither are some of the land laws that need to get worked on as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, back in the old six-shooter days, you know, property rules were a whole lot different than they are today.
Right.
And we can't carry six shooters anymore.
Well,
we can, but
it's best not to
if you're in a land dispute.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's always good to see you.
You as well, and we got off a little bit, but that's okay. We were on the mayor's time.
That's right.
And so I appreciate my number is 928-961-2885. If anybody's got anything going on that they would like me to know about or let me know about or complain about, and believe me, don't feel bad about giving me bad news because that helps me try and fix things. If the dump is bad, I want to know it. I mean, I drive up there. I do. And but if there's something I'm not seeing or something that I don't know or understand, by all means, give me a call. Because I can't help if I don't know we have an issue.
That's exactly right. And this will replay on Sunday morning on KJAA at 8 a.m. And it will be online at kqss.net indefinitely. And all of Tim's contact numbers is also there on KQSS. There's a link right on the homepage. So no excuses. All right. We'll see you next month.
Okay. Take care.